Hello, my name's Julia, and I have the privilege of reading to us all today from God's Word. So the passage is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, and it can be found on page 682 of the Church Bibles. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Well, hey, my name is Tom. If I haven't met you before, I would love to do that after we are done in here. Congratulations on being in church on the first day, or first Sunday of the year. I just want to cheer for you. I want to celebrate you. You're putting your foot forward, trying to deepen your connection with God, maybe reconnect with God, maybe get connected with God for the very first time. Last week, Elliot opened our series by talking about how meditating on God's Word will help us to connect with God Himself. I think that was super helpful by way of personal application that led me to download a 90-day reading through the New Testament Bible reading plan. I've been doing that this week. So thank you, Elliot. We honor you. Thank you for preaching last week. Today, we're going to talk about the second one. And by the way, the icons are out of order. So we're up to the fourth icon from the left. We're talking about rest. Because if we all start on the same page, is it true to say that a lot of us are tired? You're tired today. You're tired yesterday. A couple of nods around the room. Can we do something? We're going to get involved here. And I want to say it's okay to raise your hand in this church, right? You're allowed to raise your hand. We're going to do a quick poll. Have you, this year, felt tired yet? Hands up, hands up, hands up. Now, everyone with their hands down just volunteered to do the chores this afternoon. Isn't it crazy that the first Sunday of the year, so many of our hands went up? Because if there is any Sunday we're meant to be not tired yet, it's this one. And for some of us, you say, actually, holidays are more tiring. A couple of nods around the room. We're all tired. Now, before we look at the Bible to help us with what we can do with our tiredness as we all pursue rest, let's have a little bit of a game. Let's decode some icons, right? If you get all six, then you are crazily in tune with where my mind is at. But the first one is super easy, right? You say, I'm feeling tired, I need some rest. Somebody will say, how's your diet, right? You don't need to sit in a church to get this kind of advice. You get this off YouTube, in a book, on a podcast. Second one there, someone might say, how's your work-life balance, right? You need to do some activities to actually build you up, not just pour yourself out in work. Top right, you might say that the most rested you ever feel is when you're doing yoga, Pilates, some restorative breath work, whatever that is for you. Bottom left, somebody says, that's not really for me. I just want to sit on a beach and have someone do everything for me. I'm going to go on a holiday. That's how you rest. Now, the bottom middle is the most cryptic, and I hope that you couldn't decode that. What it's saying, that icon is something about personality types and recognizing that you are different from the person sitting next to you. We all have our different ways of being wired by God. And most noticeably at Christmas, introvert, extrovert, right? All the extroverts are like, Christmas! Everyone's around, we're wrapping presents, everyone's having a good time, the kids are making a muck in the middle, it's a great time, and the introverts are in the corner like, because you're wired differently, and that's okay. To get some rest, actually recognize that what might work for you might be different from the other person. And by the way, bottom right, sometimes this is a medical thing, and it's absolutely excellent to go and pursue doctors and medical help if you feel like maybe my tiredness is more than normal. Now, all of that stuff you can get by just going online, having a dig around. That's all helpful kind of discussion on the idea of rest. But what I'd like to talk about today is something a little bit deeper and something that we actually do need God's help with. To get us started, I watched a TED talk by Jotina Buck. We can get up this quote here on the screen. So helpful. She talked about a bone deep, soul level tiredness, one that sleep can't fix. Have you ever felt that? Are you currently feeling that? Is it possible that you didn't even make it to church today because you're feeling that and you decided to tune in on the live stream? I want to suggest today, there are like 17 things I could have said, but I've chosen three. I want to talk about how connecting to the God of the universe, or deepening your connection to the God of the universe, actually does help with bone deep, soul level tiredness. We're talking a little bit deeper than self-help on how to get more sleep. So I've got three things that I want to draw to your attention. I hope at least one of them is helpful. Let's start by talking about how following Jesus and connecting with the God who made you actually does give you the ultimate license to rest. Should we start looking in our Bibles? Mark chapter 6 is a good place to start. We'll flick around a little bit today as a topical talk. It says, then, because so many people were coming and going, they didn't have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Isn't it so sweet when someone you love and someone who's able to give you rest says, get some rest. And you say, this is good. Jesus notices that his followers are absolutely pooped. I take it that he knows what's going on for you, that as a follower of him, if that's what you are, and that he prioritizes your rest. He thinks it matters. Get some rest. Let's go to another Bible passage, Psalm 46, verse 10. This is one of those ones that goes great if you frame it and put it on a wall. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Now, regular wisdom, regular discussions you'll find on YouTube will say, hey, be still, because the latest scientific research says it'll increase longevity. But can you see the logic of what's happening here? It almost seems to run backwards. The idea is that if you realize there's a God, then that will help you to be still. You think about sleep, for example, the most tangible example of being still. You say, there is a God, I'm not that God, and so it's okay if I'm unconscious for the next couple of hours, because everything will keep spinning without me. There is a God, and that gives me the ultimate license to be still. It's fascinating when you think about sleep, right? God, I assume, could have made us with higher sleep needs, lower sleep needs. He chose something like 30% of your life, horizontal unconscious. And when we sleep, it's actually an act of humility. Right? Tell that to your two-year-old. You're like, I'm trying to be humble. When you sleep, it's actually saying, there is a God. I'm not him. He doesn't need to, I need to sleep. I'm just going to submit to my creatureliness because God's design is good and right. Be still and know that I am God. Let's go right to the second page in most people's Bibles, Genesis chapter 2. It's almost as if the God of rest was in a hurry to tell us about rest. He's got it right there up front. He's like, yeah, we created the universe and then rest. It's one of the first things that he wants to profile to us in his Bible. So it says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Now, this gives us the ultimate license to rest. Because you say, man, even God rests. And I don't even think he's resting because he's tired necessarily. There seems to be something inherently good and right about rest in and of itself. God models what it is for us to rest. So it gives us the ultimate license to rest. But when we come to Genesis and you start talking about rest, you kind of have to pause and do a theological sidebar on the Sabbath, right? For the next 3 or 4 minutes, we're going to do some deep theology. I'm going to give you the real stuff, the tools that all the theologians are actually using to make up your mind about what you think about the Sabbath. So the question is, should Christians have a Sabbath? Because back in Genesis, it seems like it was introduced, and all through the Old Testament, they seemed to be very excited about the idea of a Sabbath. Does that still count in 2026? That's the question that we're asking. And by the way, I want to say that this is an open hand issue. As a church, the people sitting in your row might think differently from you, and that's okay on the idea of the Sabbath. But can I give you the tools to understand the discussion so that you can make up your mind about whether you think a 24-hour pause period on work is a good idea in your life right now? What we're actually talking about, the question beneath the question, is how does the Old Testament law relate to today? Am I, as a 2026 Christian, still bound by the Old Testament law? And if you get a bunch of theologians in a room, eventually someone will probably say, hey, let's break the law into three different sections. Let's recognize there's three different versions of the law. I think we can get a table coming up on the screen. The first part of the law is moral. And this is an example, is like, don't kill, don't murder. And we think, by the way, that's a good one. We're going to stick with that. That is binding. But some of the laws are also civil, and they talk about how God wanted his Old Testament people to work as a society together. And we say they're probably not binding on us in the same way right now, but they are instructive. They are helpful. Let's look to them for wisdom. And then you come to the ceremonial, third part of the law, moral, civil, ceremonial law. And we say Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but he did come to fulfill it. For example, ceremonially, you used to get a sheep, you used to cut its throat, you used to let the blood spill out, and that had something to do with the forgiveness of sins. And we don't do that anymore. Why? Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, fulfilled what the law was pointing to. The very center of our church is Jesus' death on the cross for our sins in our place as our substitute. And we think that when he did that, he fulfilled some aspects of the law. And so the question when you come to the Sabbath is to say, is the Sabbath moral law? Is the Sabbath civil law? Is the Sabbath ceremonial law? And however you go on that question will probably lead you to make an answer about the Sabbath. Now, just to play some of my cards, which are my cards and they don't have to be your cards, I find it very difficult to say every Christian has to have a Sabbath in 2026. One place in the Bible, there are a couple of others we could go, but one place is Romans chapter 14 that makes me feel uncomfortable about mandating a Sabbath for every Christian. So chapter 14, verse 1, Paul says, accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. And then he keeps talking about an example of a disputable matter. Verse 5, so one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. And so for me, where I've come to personally, is to say it's very difficult to mandate a 24-hour restricted period of rest to a 2026 Christian. And yet, if I just totally backflip on that, here's a quote from an English author, Christopher Ashe. He says, even if the Sabbath is no longer an old covenant religious obligation, we're simply foolish to behave as though we no longer needed a day off each week. That might be food for thought as we go beyond today. Here's what we're doing. We're talking about being connected to God and how that actually will help with our need for rest. I'm saying three things. The first one I want to say is that it gives us the ultimate license to rest. The second thing I'd like to say today is that it gives us a new category for rest. And actually, if we go back to that quote from Jotina Buck, I think she got very close to the categories that Jesus was talking about. When she says bone deep, soul level tiredness, something beyond sleep, she's actually very close to Matthew chapter 11, which is the reading that we had before I jumped up. This is our primary passage for today. If you're a note-taking person, this is the one to really zero in for. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, says Jesus, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's good. Notice that he's saying rest is not primarily located in a technique. It's not primarily located in a place. It's not primarily located in a day. It's primarily located in a person. He's claiming to be the access to rest. He's claiming to be the one who can dispense true rest. And you say, well, how does that work? Like, what do you mean by that? And verse 29 is where he actually gives you the details. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your... He's introducing a new category to us who are weary in our bodies. He's saying, that's true. Are you weary in soul? as well. And just to make it super clear, right, he's got rest for your bodies and he's got rest for your souls. And Jesus does this all the time, right? For example, when he feeds the 5,000 with a couple of loaves of fish and some bread, then he goes and he says, I am the bread of life. Because he wants to take a thing we all get, a thing we all understand, what it's like to have an empty belly, and he says, let me teach you something deeper about the nature of reality. He does it with water. You know how you get thirsty, and he's got the woman at the well, she's drawing literal water, but she's also thirsty for relationship, for respect, for companionship. And he says, I can give you living water. What he's doing is he's taking something we get and trying to teach us something deeper. He's trying to start with rest. He says, you weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. And then he says, you know what you're really looking for? You know what lies underneath a good night's sleep? Is that actually we're looking for rest for our souls. And he's the one who can give it to you. We're going to come back to this distinction. We're going to go on a sidetrack. We're going to talk about kids. Because at 9:15, the distinguishing factor of this service, everyone's welcome. We don't all have kids, but a lot of us do have kids. Let's talk about the question that has exercised my heart as I've been wrestling with rest for the last couple of weeks, and it's how do you possibly rest? How does that work when you have kids, right? On the one hand, kids are magical. Kids are beautiful. Here's a picture of my kids from Christmas. You can say, aww. You say, kids are amazing. We love kids. They're super cute. Some of the best moments in your life are when your kids are doing things that you're proud of, when they're relating warmly to you. So on the one hand, kids are magical. On the other hand, they're crazy. They are absolutely nuts. And you think, how is it possible to ever have meaningful rest? If you are a parent with some kids, I'm told that the older they get, the easier it gets. I'm not sure I trust you because I look at you walking on a Sunday morning. Adam Mabry wrote this book. He's been really helpful. Here's a quote of him trying to summarize the situation. Let's pull up Adam on the screen. He says, you're busy with kids, with work, with school, with church, with obeying God in all of life. How can God expect you to take a day off when you're already working so hard to do all the other things he's asked of you? And you say, you get me, you know me, that is my world. Now, two things. The first thing, Adam kind of shoots pretty straight here, and if this is a word for you, then use this. Let's get the shorter quote up. He says, if you can't rest because you're busy doing all these things for God, then pick some of the ones that are optional and stop doing them. And if that's a word for you, then please receive it as a word for you. What's been particularly helpful for me is returning to that body-soul distinction, right? It sounds like it's possible, if we can get body and soul up on the screen, it's possible to have a fully rested body and an unrested soul. You talk to somebody maybe at Christmas and they've just been on a 3-week yoga retreat and their sleep score is like 98. And you look at them and you go, you're still not really having the life you wanted. It's not all clicking for you. You're not actually living in God's world with a relationship to the guy who made you, living life the way it's meant to be lived. Because you've got rest for your body, but you don't have rest for your soul. And here's the encouraging news for parents. It sounds like it must be possible to have a rested soul even when you don't have a rested body. You say, I haven't slept properly in a couple of nights, more than a couple of nights. But you know what? It is well with my soul. We're going to sing that in a minute. You say, I know the God who made me. And he knows me, and I have the deep satisfaction and the deep peace, not just of having lain down horizontal for the requisite number of hours, but of actually knowing why I exist, having a compass in my life, having something worth shooting at. And as I try and parent these kids and do a horrible job of it, I'm learning something of what it is for God to be my father. And even while I have no rest for my body, I can have rest for my soul. We're doing three things today. We're talking about how God gives the ultimate license for rest. We're talking about how God introduces a new category into our discussion around rest. And as we move to the end here, I'd love to just talk thirdly and briefly about how knowing God and being connected to Him actually helps overcome the myths that we've deeply internalized that block us from resting. I've got three myths for you. Let's pull the first one up on the screen. You say, I can't rest because my worth comes from my productivity. Can we all just be our own therapist here for a minute? Don't look down the road. Don't nudge your partner on this. Just think about yourself, right? If you are going to be honest and be your own therapist, is there a part of you that says, I can't rest because I need to be more productive? I need to be more important. I need to be more active. I need to push forward in life more. I need my home to be really clean. I need my career to be progressing faster than it usually does. I need these things because my worth comes from my productivity. And that'll rob you of rest in this life, won't it? But when you come to know the God who reveals Himself in these pages, you recognize my worth doesn't come from my productivity, it comes from my provider. And I can exist as a child in His world, experiencing the gift that it is to be given life and to be sustained in it every day by a God who is actually for me. When you know the God of the universe, it will drastically help to live life in a way that people who don't know God will be envious about. They'll look at you and they'll say, everything in your life is so full. Everything in your life is so crazy. How are you still at peace? And your secret is the fact that you are connected to the God who brings rest. Can we do a second myth? I apologize for the crackling. We'll keep working on that. If I'm not busy, I don't matter. If I'm not busy, I don't matter. Does this relate for you at all? Some of us, you say, okay, you're really busy, you need to slow down. And something inside of us says, I actually like being busy. I actually made it that way on purpose. Because when I'm busy, that means people want me. When I'm busy, it means I know what I'm doing when I wake up in the morning. When I'm busy, I feel important. What do I want to be like, one of those people who's not busy? Does anyone even want them to be in that discussion room that I've been invited into? I like being busy. I made my life busy on purpose. Because if I'm not busy, then do I even matter? And here's the thing. You do matter. And you would matter even if you were constrained to a hospital bed. You would matter if your phone never dinged again. You would matter simply because God made you, and if you're a Christian, He chose you. He looked down the barrel of eternity. He said, I want that one. She's going to be my daughter. He's going to be my son. You matter even when you're not busy. And that will help us to rest in this life. Can we do a third and final one? This is where the sermon ends. Third myth coming up on the screen. You say, I can't rest because life is short and there's only one life. So I better maximize it. I better live it to the maximum. I got to suck every inch of juice out of this bit of life because I've only got one. And if I live it really well and all of the medicine goes well for me, maybe I'll get 90-something years. And after that, it's lights out. It's blackout. And I will no longer experience anything else. This is how most people in Sydney functionally live. And so it makes sense that you can't rest, because you've only got this life and after that it's all done. But here's the thing, if you know God and you know that life actually continues eternally, this is Jesus' big ticket, is not only to help you live life well right now, but actually eternally, He died so that you could have eternal life. And this gives you a radical freedom with current experiences. Jesus taught people that life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And most of us are happy to say, yeah, I believe that. I wonder if Jesus hung out today whether He would also say, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions or experiences. Because when you know that eternity is long and this life is short, it gives you an incredible freedom to live this life. I'm sure it's my fault. It gives you an incredible freedom to live this life the way that it was meant to be lived. Band, you guys are going to come up. We're going to turn this microphone off. It's going to be great. And we are going to sing a song that has been really well chosen for today's moment. We're talking about it is well with our soul. What this is talking about is that for some of us in life, our life is going incredibly badly. Like objectively, lots of bad things are happening. And you are able to sing this song saying, even when things are not going the way I want them to, I have a rest, I have a peace that transcends all understanding. So can I invite you to stand and we'll sing?